kemarin di Siton.
Jauh tinggi tetap terus ini pelan.
And good afternoon. I appreciate you coming. God has brought me here. Thank you for the invitation. My name is Heshimu. I'm an American with a Swahili name. And I want to bring you the gospel out of the book of Romans in chapter number 8. In the book of Romans, chapter 8. I've been in Nigeria for about 18 months now. I have another year to go. Then I'll return home for a visit. And then when I return back, I have been living in Lagos, but I may be moving east into the Port Harcourt area. So hopefully I will be able to see you again.
We must see you.
We'll
see you again.
Okay, that'd be great. And so Romans in chapter number 8 is the life of the Spirit. And he says that therefore there is now no condemnation unto those who are in Christ Jesus. So if we are in Christ by faith, if we put our trust in Him, all condemnation has ceased. The condemnation, it was born by the wrath of God being suffered and endured by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He died upon the cross. That the anger of God against sin for all who believe, all of His people, it would be forever pacified. It is not possible for God to punish Christ and you at the same time. Brother Charles Spurgeon said that sin cannot be in two places. If it is on Christ, if it was laid upon Him, it cannot be on me. So even though I am still sinful, this is what Paul was wrestling with in Romans 7 when he said, "O wretched man that I am." If he did not say I was. He did not say I came to church and my problem with sin ended. Until I'm perfected like Jesus Christ, I still have a sin problem. Our brother David said that man at his best estate is altogether vanity. And so we overcome our sin problem by believing we are not condemned for the sins we commit even now. I remember as a very young believer, I grew very quickly, and after about a year and a half, I came into my first real battle with sin. And I realized that I was just as depraved as I had ever been. And I was just as big a sinner as I had ever been. And the same lusts were inside of me, and I would go to hell and choose sin over our Lord Jesus Christ if God let me do so. I was very scared. I was very shocked, though. But then I realized as I came to this text of Scripture that my sin nature and the sin inside of me and the sin I was tempted to do and the sin I was doing, it did not have the power to condemn me. And based upon that, my help comes in verse number 2. It's because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. What God is saying is that the sin that's in you has been conquered by Jesus Christ upon the cross, and by the power of His Holy Spirit. He gives us two things when He saves our soul. In one hand is our justification. That's the forgiveness of our sin. In the other hand is the power of a brand new life. It's holiness. He gives us His Spirit. That's why I'm not condemned. Because sin is not my master. Because Christ died to take it away, and the Spirit comes to subdue it and put it down, because I am justified by faith. Who knows what it means to be justified by faith? What does it mean? Now, you read your Bibles now, you go to church constantly here in Nigeria. What does it mean to be righteous with God? Who can answer?
Refraining yourself from every worldly thing that you wish you know to be a barrier in communication.
Have you done that? Have you refrained from every worldly thing that would break your relationship with God? Don't lie now. We don't burn in hell, though. That's the case. There would be none good. There would be none righteous. No, not one. To be justified by faith and righteous in the sight of God is to trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. Add nothing, plus nothing, minus nothing. He that believeth on Him hath an everlasting righteousness. As the Bible says from Romans chapter 4, verse 5, that to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies, who declares righteous, who? The ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. Not his trying hard to live a holy life, though. That's not good enough for God. But when the sinner admits, I cannot reach your standard, I cannot live a holy life that would please you, I can only impress people, and that means nothing. But to you, O God, I cannot ascend. And he puts his trust as a sinner in Jesus Christ. You remember the parable our Lord told, or the story of the publican and the Pharisee that went to pray. And the Pharisee went to pray like a Nigerian or an American. Oh God, I thank you. I'm not like these other people. I fast, I pray tithe, I go to church all day, I've been in church, I got Bible memorized, though. And the Lord said he prayed thus with who? Himself. He never spoke to the holiness of God. But the poor publican, that criminal, that person who steals money off the poor, he came into the same temple and he smote upon his heart and said, God be what? Merciful to me, the sinner. And the Lord said he went home to his house justified. And for he that humbles himself will be exalted. He that exalts himself is going to be crushed and brought down. He believed that God would be merciful to him through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and he was immediately and eternally made righteous with God. And because you are righteous, you are justified by faith. The Holy Spirit comes with power to give you a brand new life. It's the only way to come, you say. And it's such a sweet life of peace. When Christ was holy, and our sins were placed on Him, He died. He suffered. When Christ had died and He put away these sins, He's seen by the Father without any more sin. And so the Father raised Him from the dead. That's why the Spirit comes to us with power, because there is no condemnation. You are blameless in His sight. So he blesses you with holiness as his gift. Okay? Let's keep going. And when the time is up, you just, if you let me know, and I'll wrap up. But verse number 3 and 4 is talking about, as to what I just said, as to what the law could not do because it was weak, because of our sinful nature, our flesh. The Almighty God did. How? He condemned sin in the flesh. How? By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an actual man, and as a sacrifice for sin, he became obedient unto the death. He was a sin offering. He paid for sin perfectly. Verse 4, in order that the righteous requirements of the law would be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He's saying Christ died upon the cross to take away sin, that those who look to Jesus Christ would be enabled by God to love, which we never could do by the Ten Commandments. You shall love has no power to make you love. But when your sin is forgiven, our Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit has power to make you love. And now it's the promise of what He will do. The Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Man cannot serve God in his strength. It is the strength of Christ. It's the grace of God. It's the gift of God. It's the law of the Spirit of life. That's why Christianity is so hard for so many people. Is you're in the flesh. You're trying to do it yourself instead of looking unto Jesus Christ. You're trying to be good enough for God instead of saying Christ is good enough for God to bless me. And then the Spirit comes with peace and power. This is the easy yoke. That's His kindness. This is His meekness and His gentleness. This is the condescension of Christ to love you and help you over and over. This is Him actually washing your feet every day, pardoning your every transgression, and giving you more strength to come and to follow Him in love. This is the goodness of God that leads us to the cross. Verse number 5. Now for those that live in unbelief, and it's for those who look unto themselves. It's for those who try to be a Christian any other way. They are living according to the flesh, and their mind is in unbelief. It's on the things of the flesh. It's not believing the gospel. It's not walking by faith in the Son of God. But those who live according to the Spirit. What is the number one job of the Holy Spirit? When the Lord Jesus, in the book of John, chapter 14, 15, and 16, was talking about the Comforter coming, the Spirit, what did He say the Spirit of God would do? He said He would not testify of Himself. If you go someplace and all you hear is them talking about the Spirit, and they're not pointing to the finished work of Christ constantly, the Spirit of God is not there, it's a devil. He will not testify of Himself. Christ says He will take the things of mine and make them known. He will bring all things into remembrance that I have told you, and then you'll be my witness. The Spirit of God in the covenant of grace has been designated to bring glory to Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross unto the glory of God our Father. That's how you know false religion. It's so subtle. It talks about the Spirit, but not the Son of God. So be very careful. One of the tactics of the devil. But the Spirit, if you live according to the Spirit, if you live with your eyes on Christ and the power of the Spirit, you don't have any strength yourself, you're always trusting Him. The minding of the flesh is death. It is death right now, and it will lead to death eternal. But the minding of the Spirit, which is eyes on Christ, there's no condemnation in the gospel, is life and peace. I used to question God if this life and peace was real as a believer. And you know why I did that, my sister? I was looking at myself. And I was being weighed down by my failures. Things other people couldn't see, but I know. And they oppressed me. And over the years, it got heavier and heavier until I wanted to quit because I did not think there was any peace in the gospel and it was only a lie. But then I realized my secret. I'm no longer condemned. And you know what I learned? To live in the precious blood of Christ as my relationship with God 24 hours a day. On my best days, on my worst days. After my worst sin, after my best sermon. I'm only dealing with God through Jesus Christ. And the life and peace is real and it's every single day. Huh? I got to quit already? I'm just getting started, though. That is too bad. But if you get this point, the next time I see you, is you will testify unto me that the peace is real. It's peace in the midst of suffering. As you keep reading in this chapter, we will suffer. But me and you rejoice in tribulations because we have hope. And if we have hope, then we overcome everything that attacks us in this world. And our hope is not in this world. It's in being made like Christ in the glorious liberty of the sons of God. All things work together for the good of you who love God.
Yes,
and the only reason I love God is because He first loved me.
Yes.
And He has organized everything in this world according to the purpose of our salvation. Yes. He chose us before He made this world. Yes. That's why everything works together for your good. Because He predestined us to everlasting bliss. And so everything that happened, the tears, pain, even the transatlantic slave trade that oppressed my people, our people, I'm your cousin now. It oppressed us something sore. It has been working together to bring those chosen by God into paradise. Both the good and the bad now. Whom He foreknew, He predestined. Whom He predestined, He glorified already.
Yes,
He justified and called.
Yes.
And who shall be against us if the Almighty God is on our side?
Nobody.
And so how about tribulation? Is it going to take away the love of Christ? There is nothing that can stop His love towards those who believe His gospel. That means that there's nothing that can stop you and me from enjoying peace and power over sin. And I'll say this lastly. Our life is 100%. It's about bringing others to Christ. I'll just end you with this. This is a true story. It's a young man in Lagos. He's a handsome man. And he's single. Are you ladies? And he told me this at church. That he doesn't want to make too much money if it takes him away from being able to do things for the kingdom of God. He isn't a preacher, but he wants to be able to drive the van in order to pick up people. He wants to be able to give. He said, "My time." And I told him this, that's a good ambition, though. And God will bless you in that. As we seek to live our life for ourselves, no matter what it is, we have completely wasted our life. Misery's coming, oh. You're in rebellion against your Maker. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to live for the Father's glory. And what was His glory? The salvation of sinners. You make that the number one ambition of your life. Rich or poor, weak or strong, if you're married or if you're single, and peace and power, it will be yours. Mm-hmm. That's a life of faith. Mm-hmm. May the Lord prosper you. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thank you, sister. Thank you very much. Until next time. Thank you, sister.